Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. I'm going to be talking about mental fluidal energies today, and this is based on, of course, a book by Billy that's being translated or has been translated by Michael Utebrook, and I hopefully I didn't pronounce his name too badly, who is a member of FIGU Canada. And if you run out to https://ca.figu.org, you can see what's new out on the FIGU Canada site. And one of the things that's new is the Fluidal Energies Part 3. If you put that in YouTube, you can find this video for yourself. That's Part 3. I'm going to try to quickly cover Part 1, Part 2, and Part 3 today. Mental fluidal energies, they charge the things that are around you. Mental fluidal energies are the personal mental emanations, as well as the swinging waves of human beings. These powers come from our thoughts and feelings. There's something called the swinging wave, or the swinging wave, that the Meyer Information talks about. It contains the character of the human being, the movements of your consciousness. I think that animals have swinging waves as well, and they're all connected. This is described in the Goblet of Truth, the book Goblet of Truth, which says many of these creatures are connected by psychic swinging waves, and they're aware of each other, speaking of the creatures of nature. Anyway, the powers of the mental fluidal energies, they settle into your skeleton most intensely, and they emanate out from your consciousness. They're also heavily settled in your organs. For example, your heart has one of the probably the highest concentration of your mental fluidal energies. Of all the organs, the heart has the greatest concentration of the mental fluidal energies. And that's why people that get heart transplants, they put themselves under great danger, where they can actually take on the thoughts and the behaviors of the person that transplanted, that gave them the heart, the donor. So all of our thoughts, energies, are these mental fluidal waves deposit themselves into the organs of our body, into our skeleton, also into books, clothing, and jewelry. And the longer these things are around you, the more they absorb your mental fluidal energies. I have three books right here on my desk: The Mind of Thoughts, The Psyche, and The Way to Live. And I would imagine, because I've spent a lot of time in these books, that my own fluidal energies are stored in these books, some of it good, maybe some of it bad. Anyway, the swinging waves are associated to your personality, your psyche. So your thoughts are being deposited into the walls of your house, into the furniture, into clothing. So sometimes, you know, the clothing is good and bad. I mean, you can have a certain sweatshirt or a certain shirt, certain sweater that you wear. And if you've had positive, neutral, positive thoughts a lot when you've been wearing that that particular shirt, when you put it back on, it can reset your mind in a way. So you're starting to think in a neutral, positive way again. On the other hand, clothes act as a kind of a coating that interrupt the flow of these mental fluidal energies. We can have negative swinging waves deposited into things that are around it, as well as the neutral positive swinging waves. animals and plants have fluidal powers associated with them. With the animals, generally the fluidal energy is related to their instinct. So these fluidal energies, they can have a positive or a negative effect. When you enter a house, you can feel attractive or instinctively repelled. It's very interesting. I think people's anger can be triggered by the energy of the mental swinging wave. I think this is why people have like intense personality conflicts sometimes. Now, just being around a person that I would speculate that the more that you study material like this, the more, and this is speculation on my part, the more aware you might become of people that are unhealthy in their thinking, and you would be repelled from being around these people. I think it's probably safe to assume that. But anyway, the swinging waves deposit themselves into walls, into the beams of the house, into your clothing, as I was talking about. So your home, your place of residence, begins to be charged with your energies. So, and that's why you can feel very good. It feels very good to come home. This is also one reason why I think we shouldn't move around a whole lot. I mean, sometimes it's good to move. If you're in a bad environment, definitely go ahead and move. If you have a real good opportunity to go to a better place, I'd say definitely move. But if you can stay, if you're happy where you are, definitely stay as long as you can, because the energies, the furniture, the walls, the books, the chairs, the tables, the ceiling, everything in this house is charged with your fluidal energies. And as always, of course, the more neutral positive you think, then your environment will absorb the neutral positive thoughts that bring the good circumstances into your life. So there'll be a feedback where you're giving out the neutral positive thoughts, and because these neutral positive thoughts are charged in your house, they'll come back to you. So, and that's why when you enter into a house, you can feel attracted or instinctively repelled. The swinging waves, again, they deposit themselves into everything in your house. The same way negative swinging waves deposit into objects. And these can cause nightmares and bad dreams. Even if you have an animal that's been chewing on a bone, like a dog, the fluidal energies of that animal that did the chewing can be stored in the bone. We can also make back connections to earlier lives. The more balanced a person is, the stronger the fluidal power, and the more they have protection in many ways. The more unstable person is, the more they are impacted by negative swinging waves. Now, this is true to a degree. And there's an example later. There are certain places you probably shouldn't go, and we'll get to that in a minute, no matter who you are, particularly, I would say, if you've studied material like this. The fluidal immune system of a person can become weak. If you've been having a lot of negative thoughts, your fluidal immune system can become weak. If you've been overcleaning your body, particularly with chemicals, your fluidal energies can become weak. You should strengthen and nurture good thoughts. That means you clarify your good thoughts, you repeat good thoughts. I've built up a whole set of mantras, I would call them, I guess, mantra, I don't know what you want to call them, from the Might of Thoughts book, for example. I'm the master of my own destiny. I'm the forger of my own fortune. I create my own good luck. My good thoughts, my good feelings create good circumstances. My good feelings create good habits and good circumstances in my life. What I think I make real. What I think about myself, I become. My consciousness is like a garden filled with green, healthy plants. I do not allow my thought boat to drift. I clarify, I nurture, I strengthen my good thoughts. I do not allow automatic thoughts to remain in my consciousness. I pull them out like weeds. Because it is the automatic thoughts that disturb the feelings and also the psyche. I steer my thoughts like a captain steers his ship. So you always want to steer your thoughts because the positive, neutral positive thoughts that you're putting out are going to deposit themselves in your surroundings, and they give you a feedback, and you will feel that positive, neutral positive, healthy feedback. By the same token, and this is again a little speculation on my part, I would not recommend going into the home of a mentally ill person. Because their wrong thoughts, their thoughts that are making them insane are stored, the fluidal energy of those thoughts are stored in that house, are stored in the furniture. So a person can draw mental problems to themselves that came from other people. By going into their house, you can feel all the negative swinging waves. By the same token, you can draw mental problems to yourself that existed in your previous lives that were not resolved. And the skeleton of your body, for example, should never be cremated because the skeleton contains the fluidal powers associated to the previous life. And a person can draw information and power from an earlier life. Old memories are problems that can be released after many, many years. It depends on the efforts of the consciousness. As soon as the problems are resolved, the back connection is resolved. And these impulses can be held in the storage banks for an eternity. And as long as the human being requires these impulses, they can strike him over and over again. The impulses from out of the storage banks can be accepted by the subconsciousness. This signifies for the human being a kind of evolutive help. The back connection can allow the human being to draw subconscious information out of the past. And the human can get relief from issues by this back connection. So a lot of this goes on subconsciously. And you can have multiple back connections to previous lives. And these impulses, again, from the previous lives can be held in the storage banks of the universe, of the solar system, of the planet, for practically as long, well, for billions of years. As long as the planets survive. The impulses will strike the person over and over again, as long as you need them. These back connections to fluidal powers can create what looks like spiritual apparitions. And this is important to understand because the power of your thinking is so incredibly powerful. That's probably why I've spent so much time in the Might of Thoughts book. It is the nature of the thoughts that any conceivable thing can be brought into fruition. And the power of the thoughts does not come from the person himself, but it comes from the literal expanse of the universe. So these powers, they stream into your consciousness, and they can stay forever, for just billions of years, the power of your thoughts. So do not allow your skeleton to be cremated. and do not allow it to be destroyed by fire, because you need these back connections. It is the body and the skeleton that is the most important thing associated to the fluidal energies. So do not allow your body to be cremated. As I was saying earlier, do not frequently move from one place to another. This disrupts your connection to fluidal powers deposited in the things associated around you. I think this is such a interesting topic because, hi, we have a person, Tweenaltime, good morning. He was asking, I wonder what people in apartment buildings feel with fluidal powers. My goodness, good question. I think if you don't have to live in an apartment building, don't. Because I think, and this is speculation on my part, I think all of these, well, maybe it's not that much speculation. It stands to reason that all these people that live in apartment buildings, say you got 50 people in an apartment building, all of their fluidal energies are stored in this building. And what an unhealthy situation to be in, because you would be constantly disrupted subconsciously from the energies of all of these other people. My goodness. Wow, that's a great question. And we'll get more to that later, because there are certain probably very old churches that you should try to avoid. I was in a church last night. I was playing music, and I didn't notice too many negative energies, which was nice, because sometimes I hesitate to go into some of those churches, but we'll talk more about that in a minute. Back to apparitions. Apparitions are the mental fluidal power that are made mobile by the unconscious or the subconscious of a person. Now, this is pretty wild. So these apparitions that people see, according to Meyer information, are not spirits. They are deposited mental fluidal powers that manifest at times, and I'll continue here and we'll come to better understanding it. Typically, the person is not aware that they are causing apparitions. People subconsciously or unconsciously cause these apparitions. And there was an example of a woman in the United States an older woman that would go to sleep around 4 p.m. every day, and she'd lived in this house for a long time. And she would dream about her childhood. And about 4 p.m. every day, this little child would sing and walk around the house. She would go into the garden. She would walk around. And that child was the fluidal energies of this older woman who had lived in this house for many, many years. So during her nap, a strong memory of her childhood would appear. And she was unconsciously activating the fluidal powers that were stored in the house. So this ghost was actually the fluidal powers of this older lady that had been stored in the house for years. That would probably upset some people that are involved in ghost hunting. But this is what the Meyer material says. And if you don't know, Billy Meyer is a 80-year-old man from Switzerland. He's written about 50 books. 2000 contact reports, he claims to have had contacts with extraterrestrial humans, people very much like us, just at a much higher level of evolvement. And a lot of the material that he has comes from them. Some of it he's pulled out of the storage banks of the universe himself. But I don't want to get off on that tangent too far. They live in Hinterschmidruti, Billy does. And there's a building there called the Semyase Silver Star Center, which is dedicated to one of his contacts. But in the early years there in Hinterschmidruti, a shadowy figure would dart around the house and end up making noises in the attic. And when someone would switch on the light, there would be total silence. There were fluidal powers that were stored in this house. So the more labile a person is, meaning the more easily aroused they are, the more likely these things can happen. Water and fire can rid a house of fluidal energies, but that's really not an option because they cause so much damage. Rings, for example, can store up fluidal energies for years. So be careful about putting on other people's rings. It might not be a good idea. Fluidal energies versus pure thought swinging waves. There's a difference here. Pure thought swinging waves arise from thoughts. Fluidal energies arise out of the entire mental block. So when I talk about swinging waves, that's just related to the thoughts, but the fluidal energies relate to your thoughts, your feelings, to the whole subconscious, the whole unconscious. So the pure thought swinging waves, they have a great power within themselves, but these mental swinging waves, they're not stored for thousands of years. The pure thought swinging waves do not deposit themselves into things. Objects are not affected by the pure thought swinging waves typically. But however, the swing waves that come from the entire mental block do have a tremendous power, and they deposit themselves in things. And I think in later lives, we get the ability to use the whole aspect of our mental block. And this is a little my own speculation here. And that's why in later, when we get to the fifth stage of human evolution, we can do telekinesis, teleportation, things like that, incredible things like the Pleiaren do. We're not gods, we're not demons, we're not angels, we're just human beings who are evolving, and there are incredible powers associated with our thoughts. And that's why we can create things like nuclear bombs, because what's a nuclear bomb? It's just someone's thoughts over a long, great period of time, learning all the secrets of nature. So these thoughts that we have, the power of our thoughts are incredible. So take a church and a monastery, and these are places where swinging waves and fluidal powers are stored. And these negative energies from people's thoughts can be stored for long periods of time, over centuries, into these churches and monasteries. So very strong negative powers are stored in these older churches and monasteries. So a human being that is sensitive to swinging waves, they can be negatively affected. And these swinging waves are often stored, they're stored in a very degenerated form in these older churches and monasteries, and they can cause great damage to a person that is highly evolved. And if you're oriented to the truth, these energies are overpowering. So there's strong believers associated with these fluidal energies. They become enslaved by these thoughts. A human being that's oriented to the truth can be greatly damaged by the energy stored in these blocks. So if a human being is sensitive to these powers and you go into one of these older churches, you can literally be killed by the negative blocks of energy that have been stored up for centuries. And this was an experience that Billy had when he entered an older monastery in one of these older churches in Switzerland. He was very nearly almost killed. Hello, Gemini. We got Gemini Moon. Yes, thank you. I am glad I'm back too. There's a video that Twin Null Time, a video on Figa Lands Group channel about a woman and her dog, and I believe it is associated with fluidal powers. That would be fascinating to view. Tyler, anyway. I guess that's Tyler. I'm very interested in dogs and cats, and a very interesting interaction goes on between humans and animals. Okay, Now let's talk about fluidal energies, part three, and this is the latest release from FIGU Canada, Michael Udebrook. And I guess I ought to put that link in the chat room. So bear with me just for a second here. As always, what's so good about Michael's movies is that he has great music, and the music in the background is just worth listening to. I tell you, it's very relaxing, and it puts you in a meditative state. So Fluidal Energies Part 3, the mental fluidal energies, it runs by the subconscious, and there's a distance limitation associated with the subconscious, these fluidal energies. So, okay, there are two fluidal energies, two different kinds of fluidal energies, one associated with the spiritual consciousness and the other associated to the material consciousness. And I got to tell you, I was playing at a church last night with a friend of mine, and he's a bass player. And when we play together, there's this incredible energy and this back and forth that happens between us that it's just hard to describe. It takes on a life of its own. So all I imagine the fluidal energies are just radiating. It's pretty amazing. I don't know if that comes from the spiritual consciousness and the material consciousness or what, but the fluidal energies associated with the material consciousness, their greatest distance they can go is about 900,000 kilometers, which is about 3 light seconds. So there's a limitation. That's pretty far, though. That's really a long way. The fluidal energies associated with spiritual consciousness, they have no limit. So your spiritual consciousness, the energies, can affect someone on another world, I suppose. Sometimes shadowy manifestations can appear in cemeteries. And this, I believe, and this is something in this part three of this movie that was a little murky to me still. I think it's like if you go into a cemetery and you have a back connection with a person, an earlier personality, then under certain circumstances, the mental fluidal energies can become active and a shadowy form will appear. Now, this is conditional on the mental fluidal energies being strongly active and being brought into activity by a living person. So the living person has to do this. And again, I don't know if it's a back connection to an own previous personality of themselves, or maybe someone that they knew in a previous life as well. I don't know if that occurs under both of those conditions, but typically the fluidal energies are deposited too deeply for this to happen. And so typically this kind of thing doesn't happen. But again, don't cremate yourself. Do not cremate your body, because subconsciously you can make back connections, and this will help your evolution. I'm not exactly sure how. It has something to do with the subconscious and the unconscious. So the fluidal energies, they're centered in a skeleton, and they do not come into conflict. So the thoughts and the feelings of people that visit the cemeteries can come into soulless. But if you get comfort by going to a cemetery, and I never do get any comfort from going to a cemetery or a funeral for that matter. But if you do, that's because of your own thoughts and feelings. There's nothing in that cemetery that's going to comfort you. Okay, fluidal energies. Sometimes intense cleaning can damage or remove the fluidal energies of the body, and this can damage your health. So a too intense cleaning can weaken the immunity. This happens a lot of times when chemical cleaning methods are applied. So If you're sick right now, and there's a lot of causes for being sick, but this could be one of the causes. So it's not recommended that you intensely clean yourself with cleaning fluids that have chemicals in them, because this can weaken the immune system. I would imagine that showering too often even could weaken the immune system. So your health can be quite damaged because of this. So again, washing with pure water is harmless, but chemical cleaning methods used in baths and showers can have very negative effects on the body. Now, we have something called an aura. And people talk about seeing auras, and I don't think they're actually seeing the aura. They're seeing something else. Hopefully that'll become clearer as we go on. But we have something called an aura, and our mental fluidal powers deposit themselves in the aura. And we can perceive another person's aura in a fine feeling manner. The aura cannot be seen again, but we'll talk about that more. Something else is seen. The aura will trigger one of the two following, a sympathy or an antipathy. So there are some people what you come into contact with that you will have antipathy immediately without even talking to them. And this is because the aura can trigger a repulsion or a contraction. And there are people that you will come into contact with you'll feel immediately attracted to. And this is because of the energies stored in the aura. There's a personality base and character energies that are stored in the aura. What is the aura? The aura is a coat that flows through the life form and arises out of them. This life energy is converted into aura energy and fluidal energy. The aura flows continually through the body in the spirit form. The aura energy and the fluid energy come from the spiritual and physical body, both. This is called the cosmic electromagnetic life energy. And this has a bluish color, which some people can see under certain circumstances. So what you're not seeing really is the aura. You're not really seeing the aura. You're seeing the cosmic electromagnetic life energy. So we have this life energy, it's kind of a bluish color. So the objects, again, store the power, the fluidal power of human beings. And this cosmic electromagnetic life energy, it can be absorbed. And one of the things you have to watch is if you have real thick clothing on, because these energies won't flow outward as easily in undercoat cases like that. The mental energies are also stored in the body, and there's a kind of cellular memory that's associated with these mental energies. This is why when an organ is exchanged from one person to another, also, the information associated with the other person is transplanted. So you're getting their thoughts, their idiosyncrasies, their feelings whenever you get an organ transplant. So you get wishes, hopes, and fears this other person has. So if you're getting a new heart, you're getting more than just a new heart. Same way if you're getting a new organ or a new bone transplanted from one human being to another. This can bring unpleasant circumstances because the transplanted organ brings the swinging waves of the donor into the body of the human being that is getting the organ. This means that the brain and the consciousness of the human being is absorbing the thoughts of the person that had the heart originally. So you're getting the thoughts associated with the person that was the donor. This means you're getting their fears, their hopes, their idiosyncrasies. All of that is being transplanted into your mental consciousness. And this can be really devastating. That means you can even get their behaviors. So if the person that's giving you the heart was a murderer, then that means you can become a murderer as well. You can inherit, you can absorb all those thinking. Now, these are facts that are being contested by doctors, but this is really so. This can be a true statement. So you don't want to be getting hearts of other people. I think it's a good time to listen to some clips about the fires. If you're in the United States, you may or may not have heard about these fires. I think a lot of the people in the United States have probably heard about the fires. If you live in the Western United States, you've definitely heard about the fires. In fact, you may have been negatively impacted by these fires, these fires are destroying hundreds of thousands of acres of forests, which I think is horrible because I believe anyway that the forests moderate the weather. So, and Billy has prophecies that talk about these hurricanes that have been occurring and the fires that have been occurring. And also we're starting to see the earthquakes. Now, there's been a whole series of earthquakes that have occurred. So let's listen to clips, and I'm going to let these just run. It'll take me a second to set everything up. So if there's just a few seconds where you're not hearing something very clearly, sit tight, and I'll get that squared away. Here we go.
Winds, of course, are some of the driving force here, causing wildfires to race across 45,000 acres. That's according to the last count that's coming in to CNN just moments ago. CNN's Paul Verkammen is in Ventura with the very latest. And what have you been seeing there, Paul?
I'll show you where we're adjusting. Look right behind me. This house is just about to lose its roof. It is completely engulfed in flame. This is the foothill neighborhood of Ventura, one of the leading edges of this widespread fire. It burned so quickly, firefighters struggling to try to stay ahead of it. They have about 1,000 of them on the line. And by the way, this update, they now say 45,000 acres have burned. It started well to the east in Santa Paula, and it burned toward the seaside city of Ventura. What's happening right now, Kate, is firefighters still having to make choices. Some houses, like this one, they just have to let burn. In the meantime, they're going off into other neighborhoods and protecting structures. If you look just over to this direction, I can tell you down there, many houses on fire. We saw at least 10. And then there's this house right here, which is surviving. What they're so concerned about, Kate, is you can see behind me these little embers that are floating around. That's how this fire is spreading. Hot burning embers landing on a roof and going from place to place. As we look back over there, many of these are multi-million dollar homes with a view. And as we speak, we're watching more and more of them burn. They have not updated the number of structures burned. They say it's still at 150. They also say that there was a battalion chief who was injured in a vehicle versus pedestrian accident. That chief hit by a vehicle, but he suffered just bumps and bruises, and he's been released. So a very, very pitched battle right now here in the city of Ventura, trying to save homes, but this fire is moving rapidly. You can faintly hear in the distance, perhaps that's a helicopter. They want to get more and more aircraft up above this and drop both water and fire department, but they are really up against it because these winds keep kicking up to about, 50 miles an hour at top gusts, Kate.
We're going to move back east into Los Angeles County, just north of the 210. There is an area above Lakeview Terrace. It's called the Creek Fire. About an hour ago, we reported that that fire had burned 100 acres. We're now going to Greg Mills, where he is going to report that we're up to 1,000 acres there. Greg.
And Sharon and Jeff, we're in the Tahunga Canyon right here. As you can see, the flames are up along the ridgeline. We were just told by firefighters we need to get out of here in just a minute, so we will. But as you can see, flames all along this ridgeline right here, which is surprising because this is the area that burned what was it, the station fire. And we're kind of between two fires, two old fires, the station fire and Latuna Canyon fire. And so it's surprising that there's that much that can burn right now. The big concern here is you see emergency vehicles going by. These are sheriff's department, sheriff's deputies. But the big concern right now is a wildlife way station, which is up in the hills here. And that was a big concern, too, with the that fire about a year ago, because it's in a canyon, tons of animals that are being rehabilitated. And so it's a very dangerous situation for them. So they load up the animals and try to get them out. But they're very concerned about the workers and also about the animals. And now I see the fire starting to come over our ridge right over here to our left. Fire all along. And it is very, very windy, as you guys know. Two things, too. Folks, if you're going to work today on the 210 freeway, driving through the Latuna Canyon fire area, remember that burned last September. And so it is a big dust storm. We went through it very slowly, I might add. Trucks were slowing or stopping in that area. Got up to Osborne and Paxton, that area on the 210. Now we are dealing with heavy smoke. So if you're taking the 210 in anywhere near this fire area or from the fire area in September, be very, very careful and be prepared to go very, very slow. But here comes the fire up over this ridgeline. Again, we were told to leave, so we will leave in just a minute. But there's the fire there. And all along, as far as we can see, looking back, you see the fire seems to be going in a northwesterly direction. But that one's at the top of the hill right now. It's starting to climb over this hill right now. So we're going to send it back to you guys, and we'll heed the warning we had to leave this area, and we'll be back with you in just a little while. One other thing, evacuation orders are in place. We have seen, this is a ranch area. We have seen a lot of people with their loaded up with the trucks and the trailers, loaded with horses, and heading right down this hill back down to the 210 freeway.
A new wildfire sparks in Southern California, racing towards multi-million dollar homes and threatening a famous art museum. Good evening, I'm Elizabeth Cook.
And I'm Ken Bassita. There are four major separate fires burning right now. The biggest is the Thomas Fire, that is in Ventura County. The newest is the Skirball Fire. That broke out in the Bel Air area in Los Angeles this morning. Now, all four of these fires combined have scorched more than 83,000 acres. The flames have destroyed at least 180 structures, and thousands of other homes are threatened right now. More than 150,000 people have been forced out of their homes, and that number is growing.
And taking a live look at the flames right now, this is a look at Ventura County. You can see huge flames still chewing their way up those steep hillsides. Winds in the area are still a huge factor this evening. Reporter Danielle Nottingham is live in Los Angeles right now with more. Danielle?
Well, Liz and Ken, one of the major problems besides the high winds here is these fires are erupting in areas that haven't burned in years. So right now, the winds are a bit calmer. They're expected to pick up later tonight, and firefighters have been trying to take advantage of this break in the weather to try to get a control of these fires that are still barely contained.
A wind-fueled fire quickly spread in the famous Bel Air neighborhood, full of multi-million dollar mansions. At least four homes were lost. Ben Onken and his dad are among those evacuated. He says they saw their neighbor's house on fire and could only hope for the best.
Amazing how far this fire has gone and how much damage it's done. It's unbelievable.
Many of the threatened homes are on winding, steep hills like this, where flames can spread quickly from house to house.
The fire quickly grew to more than 150 acres, forcing a complete shutdown of the 405 freeway. The famous Getty Center is closed, but museum experts say the art inside is protected. More than 350 firefighters are battling the wildfire from the ground and the air.
My firefighters have been working since Sunday, so our people are getting tired.
The majority of emergency resources are still battling the massive wildfire in Ventura County, where at least 200 homes have burned, with thousands more threatened. Strong-moving Santa Ana winds pushed flames all the way to the ocean.
Greatest threat is and will always continue to be the wind.
The fire danger and poor air quality has also forced several school districts to shut down.
And some residents here in Bel Air have been allowed to go back to their homes to collect some of their belongings, but they are still not out of the woods here. The fire is only about 150 acres, but it's only 5% contained. So this is still a dangerous area. Live in Los Angeles, Danielle Nottingham. Ken, back to you.
Yeah, Danielle, we saw it up here a couple of weeks ago with the fires we had in Northern California. The chief there alluded to it a moment ago. The fatigue factor. You have firefighters that are working round the clock. How are they holding up right now?
Just as you mentioned, they're exhausted. They're working around the clock. And one of the things that we are always told as we're talking to the firefighters while we're out here covering the stories, many of them live in the communities that they serve. So many times they know some of the people who have been affected by these wildfires. So right now, a lot of exhaustion. Some firefighters have been injured, but nothing serious here in L.A. County. And when this is all over, I'm sure they'll be able to assess, you know, the damage, their own feelings and their fatigue for real.
Yeah, a lot of work ahead. Danielle Nottingham in Los Angeles, live for us. Thank you.
Now at 5.
I'm numb. I don't know. We'll get through it.
Southern California in a state of emergency.
I found a whole bunch of books. Looked like books. And as soon as you touch it, just disintegrated.
Tonight, firefighters struggled to fight and get the upper hand on raging wildfires.
And those images are just hard to believe. More than 200,000 people have been forced to evacuate from their homes because of those flames.
Strong winds have expanded the size and scope of the largest fire there. CBS 4's Danielle Nottingham is live in Ventura, California tonight with the latest on the firefight. Danielle.
Well, Rick and Ruta Bay, I am in Ventura County where the Thomas Fire is burning. It's the most destructive fire burning right now in Southern California, and it's already jumped a freeway several times, threatening these beachfront homes. And it's been another day of fire crews just trying to stay ahead of these erratic winds.
The extreme Santa Ana winds are kicking up massive walls of flames in Ventura County and one of the most volatile wildfires, dubbed the Thomas Fire. For the first time, parts of Southern California are under what's being called a purple warning as hurricane-force winds drive the flames.
The winds are so strong here. Flames on both sides of this major highway forced closures along a 17-mile stretch.
It's incredibly scary.
About 20 miles north, nearly all 7,000 people living in the small resort town of Ojai have been evacuated. Firefighters have been struggling to get a handle on the blaze that's wiped out nearly 100,000 acres since Monday night. Darlene Jordan and her husband are among the hundreds of fire victims trying to grasp the devastation.
Everything's here. Well, we're okay. We got out with the dog.
In Los Angeles County, calmer winds to save many of the multi-million dollar homes and the exclusive community of Bel Air. Hundreds of schools are shut down for the rest of the week across Southern California as firefighters try to get the massive blazes under control.
And in a sign that the danger is far from over, a new fire erupted today further south in San Diego County. Live in Ventura County, Danielle Nottingham. Rick, back to you.
We begin, of course, in Southern California, which faces an unprecedented fire threat as major wildfires burn across the region. More than 300,000 people are under evacuation orders this morning. Powerful Santa Ana winds gusting up to 80 miles an hour are making these fires extremely dangerous. Very unpredictable.
Unprecedented is right, Gail. Four large fires are burning north and west of Los Angeles. The threat level index is red in Ventura and Los Angeles counties. It was raised to purple in some places. That is a level that has never been used before. CBS Evening News anchor Jeff Gore is in Shadow Hills, where the Creek Fire destroyed dozens of homes. Jeff, good morning.
Nora, good morning to you. This property we're standing on, what was a home, is one of around 200 structures that have been destroyed in the California wildfires this week so far. You can see basically just a chimney is left behind us here. These four fires alone have burned territory now bigger than the city of Atlanta. And the strong worry is that it's about to get worse. Overnight, the Thomas Fire in Ventura County closed in on the town of Ojai, burning around Highway 33.
I was expecting, you know, this year to see snow on that mountain, and now the thing's on fire.
Winds subsided Wednesday, but have picked up again, fanning flames across Southern California.
Devastated. And every friend we talk to is in the same boat.
Where the flames are now out, often nothing is left. Kat Merrick and Chris Corsones returned to their home on the Ventura hillside. It is now in ashes.
The photos and the mementos and the, you know, the family heirlooms, they're gone and they're not coming back.
As the Thomas Fire inched towards Santa Barbara County, this man pulled over on the side of Highway 1 and rushed to rescue an animal. The 405 was closed for hours near the famous Getty Museum Wednesday as the Skirball Fire crossed the freeway.
I go over here, whole mountain is on fire.
In Bel Air, the same fire ripped through multi-million dollar homes while firefighters on the ground worked away. Here in Los Angeles County, more than 1,500 people are battling the Creek Fire. 250,000 people have been evacuated and more than 12,000 acres burned.
I'm numb. I don't know.
Judy Hoffman Sanders lives in Shadow Hills, where the fire has already destroyed her house.
The house was just wonderful. I don't know what's going to happen. I have to sit down.
And Judy Hoffman Sanders actually lived right on this property. To give you a little perspective on what's happened here, this is what the house looked like before the Creek Fire, and you see exactly what it looks like right now. About 50 miles northwest of Los Angeles, the Thomas Fire in Ventura County forced new evacuations overnight. It is the largest of the four fires, and it's only 5% contained at this point. And David Begno is on the fire lines in Ojai, California. David, good morning to you.
Jeff, where we are right now, winds are actually carrying the fire toward Ojai. You've got flames that are burning on the northwestern side of town, the northern, and parts of the eastern side. The area of La Conchita is under a mandatory evacuation. The winds are starting to pick up. The smoke is pretty unreal in this area. In fact, just recently we saw a wall of flames that had to have been 300 feet or higher. You know, the LA Fire Index, LA Fire Burn Index, is the highest it's ever been projected. An extreme reading is 162. You know what it is today? 296. Jeff?
David, thank you very much.
I want to bring in now Antonio Sabato Jr., actor and California congressional candidate. He lives in the area where the fire is burning. Have you been told or asked to get out, evacuate at this point?
Yes, good morning there. Yes, my prayers and my thoughts go out to all the families and neighborhoods that have been affected by this. It's actually not far from where I live. I'm actually going to go after I'm done here. I'm going to go down to the fire departments and talk and try to help the communities and go into the shelters and try to help as much as I can. I've been up all night. So it's really tough conditions. The winds are really high. They don't seem to be slowing down. So we're dealing with really one of the worst fires we've ever had.
Yeah, I don't want to be alarmist, Antonio, but this is developing suddenly, so it seems to us. Mm-hmm. This is a big deal. It's a very, very difficult situation right there, isn't it?
Well, it's extremely difficult because we can't lift our helicopters or, you know, we can't send anything in the air because of the winds. So everything has to be dealt from the ground at the moment. You know, in the middle of the night, we had 60 to 70 mile wind. Blowing, so that that took the fire to a whole new level, and I just pray to God that it slows down and we can help as many people as possible and animals.
Amazing situation. I don't even like to cover the fire and information. I feel obligated to because I think it drives home the reality of the Meyer prophecies. He's the only person that I know of that's been predicting these fires. And just to run quickly through some of the fires that have occurred over the past few years that I've covered doing the show, the Rim Fire in August of 2013, it threatened the water supply of San Francisco and nearly destroyed Yosemite's National Park's sequoia trees. The Rim Fire destroyed about 250,000 acres of forest. In the same month of 2013, the Pony Complex Fire in Idaho destroyed 149,000 acres. This was about 12 miles northeast of an area called Mountain Home. The Funny River fire in May of 2014 destroyed 193,000 acres in Alaska. That's 302 square miles. It's just beyond belief. The location of the fire was in the Kenai Peninsula of Alaska. There was in 2014 in July the Carlton Complex fire in Washington State, which is the largest fire in the state history, that burned 390 square miles. That's an area about four times the size of Seattle. In July of 2016, we had the Cold Springs fire, which caused evacuations in Colorado, and one of the other radio show hosts, Solaris Blue Raven, had to be evacuated during that time. The largest fire that I know of is the Fort McMurray wildfire, which is also known as the Horse River Fire. It occurred in Canada, in Alberta, in the Fort McMurray, Alberta. Destroyed 2,400 homes, 1,500,000 acres, the costliest disaster in Canadian history. We had the San Bernardino fire, called the Blue Cut Fire. 80,000 people evacuated, 58 square miles destroyed. We've had all the hurricanes, which I won't talk about. In 2017, we had the Rice Ridge Fire. This is this year, July 24th in Montana. Destroyed over 100,000 acres. We had two smaller fires, one called the Lolo Peak Fire, the other one called the North Peak Fire. The one fire destroyed 53,000 acres in Montana, the Lolo National Forest Fire. The North Peak Fire destroyed 55,000 acres in Washington, D.C., or Washington State, excuse me. This year, in October, the Chetco Bar Fire destroyed about 182,000 acres. It's interesting because I think one of the problems is that the smaller fires, we have stopped these smaller fires for so many years that we're not allowing the forest to get rid of its undergrowth. So we've actually created the circumstances for these mega fires in many ways by the mismanagement of our forests. We've also not allowed the meadows. And these forests should have meadows to maintain the moisture in the soil, but we have an overgrowth of trees, which is drying the soil. So just a few of the other fires that we've had: the Whittier Fire in Santa Barbara, that was in July, 16 homes destroyed, 30 other buildings. We had the Atlas Fire, 51,000 acres destroyed, 6 fatalities, 303 structures. The Tubbs Fire, 36,000 acres, 22 fatalities, 5,000 structures destroyed. The Detweiler Fire, 81,000 acres. This is all in 2017. The Detweiler Fire destroyed 68 structures and 63 homes. That's all of my notes. I don't have any more notes on the fires. There are four other fires, I think, currently raging in California right now. I don't have really, I haven't put those in my notes yet. I hope this hasn't been too overwhelming. I know it's difficult talking about this sort of thing. Remember to tell yourself I'm confident, I'm optimistic, I'm relaxed, I'm cheerful. Keep your neutral, positive mental balance. And we'll be back. Thanks to everyone that's listening to these archives. People are starting to catch on to the Meyer material. It's obvious. And we'll talk to you hopefully tomorrow. Have a great day. Keep your neutral, positive mental balance. Be aware of your own mental fluidal powers at all times. And we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.